There is a new world order coming for believers, and it's out of this world.
Lead what? Into the new age, the age of Aquarius, or the new world order, all describing the same thing, where we Christians got it wrong. They've been listening to Lucifer that they think is a good guy, and we need to follow his plan to bring peace to the planet by formulating a one world government, a one world economy, and we're going to submit to a one world leader who is inspired by Lucifer. Sound familiar? The Bible's the only book on the planet that calls it for what it is. It's the Antichrist Kingdom.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, radio for the remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan visits with Pastor Billy Crone. The globalists have one agenda, and God has a better one. Both are about kingdoms that are yet to come. We'll talk about them. Here is today's programming.
There's something that's holding this Luciferian order up. It's two things, right? It's Christians. God's going to take care of that problem for them. Number two, it's the Israeli conflict, the conflict in the Middle East. And this is what they mean still to this day with this phrase to describe, we've got to get rid of the conflict so we can bring about this Luciferian order, and we need to bring about peace and security, right? This is straight on the UN's website. When I was there, we actually recorded them saying it on tape secretly. But if you scroll down, peace and security, that's why they exist, to bring peace and security, peace and security, peace and security. They say this all the time. And who's holding up the peace and security? Christians and the Israeli conflict. And if they can get rid of that, then they could do this Luciferian order. As we close, what's interesting, the Bible says when you hear that phrase, sudden destruction is coming to the planet. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-3. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, we have no need to write you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, which starts at the 7-year tribulation, comes as a thief in the night. For when they say what? Peace and safety, then boom, sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Not peace and happiness, not hope and prosperity, specifically peace and safety. I looked it up in the Greek. The Greek word there for safety literally means security. The exact phrase that these guys are saying right now, they need to bring about to the planet, this Luciferian order. God says, when you hear that phrase, it's about to go down. And it's a good thing nobody's saying that phrase.
Israel and Palestine, living side by side in peace and security.
Peace and freedom is a right to us, in as much as peace and security is a right for you.
Restore international peace and security in between the Palestinians and the Israelis by this phrase.
To these rocket attacks, to ensure that we are building a lasting peace that will allow Israeli and Palestinian children to live side by side in peace and security, to provide hope.
On this journey, I am reiterating the President's commitment to his vision of two democratic states, Israel and Palestine, living side by side in peace and security.
The lesson of history is that peace and security do not come easily.
Glad you can join me for the hour. Interesting hour to share with you, I believe. And we all know that the society during the 7-year tribulation will be driven by dark forces. And I could be real blunt here and say even occultic forces, because the Bible spells that out, particularly in the book of Revelation chapter 9. If the idea behind Babylon of old was demonic, then it stands to reason that the ideas of the modern globalist movement are also driven by, I'll just be blunt here, occultic principles. They're driven by the god of this world, Satan. He wants to compete with God's idea of a perfect coming one-world system. And that would be, of course, the millennium. And that's why we should be aware of the fact that today's one-world efforts are diabolical. Whether it's the United Nations, the World Health Organization, the World Economic Forum, they have an outward veneer that they are coming together on behalf of humanity, but don't believe that for a moment. They are setting the stage for the tribulation, Daniel's 70th week, to be ruled by a world tyrant, the Antichrist. They want you to think that they exist just to heal humanity. So don't be fooled. They exist to pave the world for what is outlined again in the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel. It's called globalism. So we're going to take a look at this World Economic Forum, at least for part one of my programming. And frankly, I don't really want to spend the whole hour on it. It's a pretty dark topic. So Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum, has painted himself as a savior of the world. And he has a background and an agenda that's fooling much of the world. And yes, I am aware that he has stepped down as head of this World Economic Forum, but he's going to remain as chairman of the Board of Trustees. He's going to continue to play a very, very prominent role. And he founded the organization in 1971, and every year since then, the World Economic Forum, it has grown and blossomed and attracted hundreds of world leaders, not just politicians, sometimes academics. Any believer who understands the end-time agenda knows that this organization, along with others, is plain setting the stage for, again, this coming biblical antichrist. I have on the line with me from Las Vegas, Pastor Billy Crone, and he's written about this. He's done extensive presentation and teachings on this. I'm going to refer to that in a moment. Pastor Billy Crone, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jan. It's always great to be on.
Now that the world realizes America really doesn't have a very successful leader, made painfully obvious in the most recent debate between President Biden and Donald Trump, is it the World Economic Forum that is behind the scenes running America? Nothing is working right now, and it makes me wonder if we've got a Klaus Schwab or Schwab type who's in the shadows. Do you think that's possible?
I not only think it's possible, I think it's very plausible. And part of that is because you could do the research as we've done, Jan, and it's very apparent that Joe Biden is basically, I'd just say, a hireling of Klaus Schwab. And that's easy to prove. He's been going, if you do the research, to the World Economic Forum long before he was vice president under the Obama administration. He's been with Schwab for over 20 years, Jan. And I actually have on tape Joe Biden, back when he could speak, at the World Economic Forum, giving a speech on the coming digital revolution, which, by the way, is one of the reasons why they got him in office now, because they want to destroy the American economy because we're the dollar-based system for the globe, and they want to reset it into a digital economy, a cashless society. But in that speech, just before he gets up, Klaus, on tape, smiles gleefully at Joe Biden and says that he was one of his hardest-working disciples. So it's no conspiracy theory, Jan. And then if you take a look at the people that are involved with the World Economic Forum, not just Joe Biden, you're going to see that a lot of the people that are in the Biden administration, including the media that constantly gives him a free pass, and they're even trying to undo the damage that was done in the last debate, they're also part of being either trained and or attendees of the World Economic Forum. So if you trace the trail, the World Economic Forum has had their hand all over, not just Joe Biden, but the whole administration. And really, I think what's happened, Jan, is America is the one that has now awakened to the reality of what's going on with the Biden administration, with the debate. And they're starting to ask the question, who's really in charge? Because this guy can't even make a decision. He can't even complete a sentence. But if you look at the other countries around the world, and I do this all the time because I want to get a different perspective, because in America, we get the managed news. And for several years since Biden has been in office, other countries, Australia, Europe, they actually give updates in their news broadcasts of all the Biden mishaps and misspeaks. So the world has really known that this guy is weak. He's not fit to be president. They make jokes about it all the time. It's just this latest debate has finally awoken the American people.
What you're talking about very often, at least here in recent months, is going back to this globalist agenda, no matter who's in charge. Mr. Schwab is not going away, at least not for a while. He's just going to take a lesser role. It's still prominent, but a lesser role. And some lackey will come in and do the same type of antics. What you're suggesting is that witchcraft is at the center of it all. Now, that's a very, very strong statement. It's a very, very dark statement. But define what you mean by witchcraft in this context, a globalist outfit.
This actually was something that I stumbled across on my research. On Wednesday nights for several years, I've been teaching an extended study on the occult, Jan. I started off with witchcraft, then I moved into Satanism, and then I got into spiritualism, voodoo, shamanism, druidism, and vampirism, all that kind of stuff. I didn't plan on it, but in my research, I came across the thread of occult background, and it led straight to the UN, which led straight to Klaus Schwab. I couldn't believe it. But then when I began to go down that rabbit hole, Jan, it began to explain to me a question that I've had for a long time. How could these people, whether it be Schwab, whether it be Biden, whether it be all the other people working for the World Economic Forum, the Great Reset, how could they look at you square in the face on TV, even smile, knowing they are destroying our country, they are hurting, harming, and killing people. How could they do that? Don't they have a conscience? I mean, how could somebody do something so evil and smile as they're lying to you straight in the face? Once I came across this spiritual thread, it made sense. Because, Jan, these people are working for Satan. These people are demon worshipers. They're involved in the occult, and specifically Luciferian worshipers. And that answers a lot to me. And then you go back to the scripture and you see two things. Romans chapter 1 says that when your society is at the last stage of destruction, that amongst all other kinds of egregious, horrible, sinful behaviors, it says they're going to become God haters. In fact, the Greek word there for God haters literally means that these people consider God as something detestable. That explains a lot. And then in Revelation 9, it talks about the society that's in the 7-year tribulation under the Antichrist regime. And it says there, these people are so evil that they refuse to repent of several things. And they clearly say of their demon worship, their murderers, and their pharmakeia.
Right. And I was going to go there in just a second. So let's go down that trail for just a few minutes here. And that is the role that pharmacy or pharmakeia, that's the Greek word, that's going to play a role. According to Revelation 9, that's where we get our word pharmacy or drugs. So some sort of a drug experience, it can be illicit drugs, it can be legal drugs. That's going to play a role here in a last day scenario, according to the book of Revelation chapter 9.
Exactly, Jen. And again, that's where we get the word pharmacy or pharmaceuticals, i.e. drugs, but also the modern term big pharma. And then you go back to big pharma. So you got people who are demon worshipers and they're involved with big pharma, medicinals, pharmaceuticals, drugs, and apparently they're murdering people. But these people are so wicked, they refuse to repent from that. And Jen, you put those three aspects together, that's what we've been seeing the last 3 years.
Right. So you say that Christians are holding up the plan. How is that happening?
This was crazy. Not only in the thread of research in the occult studies did I find that you can trace all the way back to Schwab and the UN that they have an occult background. They literally want to bring in a Luciferian order, but the same people that are involved in this Luciferian order that the Bible calls the Antichrist kingdom, they say that there are people who are in the way, which would be Christians, and sooner or later, we're going to have a, quote, religious war. But then they clearly admit we're also the same ones who are holding them up from being able to fully implement this Luciferian order. What they actually say is that in order for this Luciferian order, they call it the New World Order, they call it the New Age, the Satanic Age, the Age of Aquarius. They say in order for that to start, quote, certain people will just disappear. We will create this new race on the planet, but there are people in this process that we are headed for that they, the Christian, will not evolve. They are very low-grade human bodies. Watch this. They will disappear, causing a shift in the world. Man, these people following a script or something? You're building the Antichrist kingdom. That's basically a Luciferian order, which, by the way, they say you need to follow one guy inspired by Lucifer, which, again, the Bible calls the Antichrist. And they admit that they can't fully get it going until these people, Christians, somehow just disappear.
So until we're raptured out of here. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio, Jan Markell. I have on the line from Las Vegas, Pastor Billy Crone. He pastors Sunrise Bible Church in Las Vegas. You can learn more at getalifemedia.com, getalifemedia.com. Pastor Crone, I want to just play a quick soundbite because you just used the term here, New World Order, and God's got a New World Order too. I referenced that in my introduction. That, of course, would be the millennium. But before we get to the millennium, we've got to look at, even though believers won't be a part of the Antichrist New World Order, otherwise known as the time of Jacob's trouble. Folks, Jacob isn't the church. So time of Jacob's trouble, the time of Israel's trouble, and those who are unbelievers. I just want you to hear the number of world leaders that are praising the idea of a New World Order. You're going to hear a bunch of voices here.
You believe deeply in your system, and we believe just as deeply in our system. It is not our common beliefs that have brought us together here, but our common interests and our common hopes. The interest that each of us has to maintain our independence and the security of our peoples, and the hope that each of us has to build a new world order in which nations and peoples with different systems and different values can live together in peace.
I think you're even that is Nazi. Even that does not describe why the world has changed so much and why the world has turned so much toward a new world order and a new kind of civilization.
Until now, the world we've known has been a world divided, a world of barbed wire and concrete block, conflict, Cold War. Now we can see a new world coming into view, a world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
This is a moment to seize. The kaleidoscope has been shaken. The pieces are in flux. Soon they will settle again. Before they do, let us reorder this world around us.
Leaders and dignitaries of the European Union, representatives of our NATO alliance, distinguished guests, we meet here at a moment of testing for Europe and the United States, and for the international order that we have worked for generations to build.
North Korea broke the rules, once again, by testing a rocket that could be used for long-range missiles. This provocation underscores the need for action, not just this afternoon at the UN Security Council, but in our determination to prevent the spread of these weapons. Rules must be binding. Violations must be punished. Words must mean something. The world must stand together to prevent the spread of these weapons. Now is the time for a strong international response, and North Korea must know that the path to security and respect will never come through threats and illegal weapons. All nations must come together to build a stronger global regime.
Vice President Joe Biden calls the newest graduates of the Air Force Academy strategic thinkers as well as warriors and the future of the new world order.
It allows us to refocus our intelligence and military assets and resources.
That was here in Colorado.
To other parts of the world where they are needed, where we face new challenges. This is the world you are graduating into. This is what I want to talk about today with you for a few minutes. I believe we, and particularly you, your class, has an incredible window of opportunity to lead in shaping a new world order for the 21st century.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order, because the global order is changing again. And the institutions and the rules that worked so well in the post-World War II era for decades, they need to be strengthened, and some have to be changed.
Billy Crone, help us understand what we just heard. I actually drew that from your presentation at Prophecy Watchers a couple weeks ago in Colorado.
Yeah, as you can see, there's people all over the aisle there, and those of us in Bible prophecy-related circles, we're probably a little bit familiar with them saying here and there, New World Order. And as you ended, shocker, Joe Biden is very famous of saying they're building a new world order. What people don't realize, Jan, is that phrase New World Order doesn't go back into the late 90s, early 2000s, when it became popular for people to say, wait a second, they're referring to building a one world government. And they do mean that. What they don't realize, and this is what I came across in my occult studies, is that specific phrase, New World Order, is another phrase that these Luciferians started back in the late 1800s with Madame Blavatsky. Yeah. This is what they use. It came from them to describe the coming Luciferian order, the New World Order. Again, there's several names that they call their satanic Luciferian agenda. It's the New Age, the Age of Aquarius. It's the New World Order. All of it means the exact same thing. And it comes straight out of the occult. And what they believe, and this is not a conspiracy theory, we brought this out in our occult studies, these people, Madame Blavatsky, and then it goes to a lady named Annie Besant, and then it goes to another lady named Alice Bailey, who then got hooked up with the United Nations, and then that led to Marie Strong and Klaus Schwab. That's how it's all tied together. But they were so bold in their belief that Lucifer, they believe, is a good guy. He's the light bearer. And Christians got it all wrong. So these people, in communication with demons, the demons were telling them that the Christians are bad, the Christians got it wrong, Satan's really a good guy. And if we listen to Lucifer, he's the one that will bring peace and security to the planet. And the goal is, according from these demons, here's what Satan is telling us to do to bring peace and security to the planet. Again, comes straight from the Luciferians. We need to build a one world government. We need to combine all world religions, and we need to follow a one world leader that will be empowered, which they think is a good thing, by Lucifer himself. Now, Jim, what did I just describe? The pillars of the Antichrist kingdom. These guys can call it the New Age, the Age of Aquarius, the New World Order, all they want. The Bible calls it for what it is. It's the Antichrist kingdom.
Right.
And what's interesting is the Bible clearly says in Revelation 13 that both the Antichrist and the false prophet will, in fact, be inspired by Satan. But these guys think it's a great thing. You know what the latest term is to describe this coming Luciferian order to the planet to bring peace and security? It was New Age, Age of Aquarius, New World Order. The latest term is this, Jim, the Great Reset. All the same thing.
I'm so glad you brought that in, because that's really the center of our discussion, is the Great Reset. And you just referenced peace and security. I think we need to talk about that for just a minute and give the biblical reference, because the Bible talks about the coming time of peace and security, but folks, it's not a good time.
No, and that's what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 3. In fact, I'll just read it to you. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, now stop right there, the day of the Lord starts at the seven-year tribulation, because the day of the Lord is described as a day of God's wrath. And so when does God's wrath start being poured out on the earth? At the very beginning of the seven-year tribulation. So he says, for you yourselves know that the day of the Lord, or the seven-year tribulation, comes as a thief in the night. For when they, not us, say, quote, peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. And again, as I mentioned, that clip that you played, the Greek word there for safety literally means security. And again, God called it out, Jen. I don't think it's by chance. A specific phrase, when you hear people saying specifically peace and security, sudden destruction is going to fall upon them. And as was alluded by the Luciferians, they admit that there's two things holding up this peace and security, this Luciferian order that they say will bring peace to the planet. Number one, Christians, which they said they're in a religious war with right now, and they're expecting them to, quote, mysteriously disappear. Number two is the conflict with Israel in the Middle East. Put it all together with the scripture. When they say peace and security, sudden destruction falls upon them. Well, why does sudden destruction fall upon them? Because God, I'm convinced, and this is what the Luciferians are waiting for, he's going to take care of their, quote, Christian problem with the rapture. And we will mysteriously disappear.
Yes, we will.
Number two, after we're gone, what are you going to do with the other thing that's holding their Luciferian order up, the Israel conflict? You go back to Daniel 9:27, and it says he, the Antichrist, will confirm a covenant with the many, Israel, for 1:7. That's what starts the seven-year tribulation. Put all that together, no wonder. They're saying peace and security. God's going to take care of the Christians, and then the Antichrist is going to rise up, and he's going to do the unthinkable. He's going to fix their second problem. He's going to bring peace to the Middle East. He's going to make a covenant with Israel. And that's why the Bible says sudden destruction falls upon them, because that's the very event that starts the seven-year tribulation, and they will not escape.
Let me do a shameless plug here, folks, because heads up that I do have a new book coming out this fall, When Jesus Returns, Living in the Expectation of the End Times, published by Harvest House. But here's the routine. You've heard it before. All the publishers do the pre-ordering on Amazon. If you'd like to go there and pre-order, this makes all the difference in the world, whether Walmart, Target, and others are even going to carry it. Just look for my name, When Jesus Returns, Living in the Expectation of the End Times, is the subtitle. By the way, these are some of the best messages given at my Understanding the Times events here in the Twin Cities over about 20 years. Some contributors, Jack Hibbs, Mark Hitchcock, Amir Safadi, Ed Heinzen, Jeff Kinley, Barry Stagner, Michelle Bachman, and others. And I have two chapters myself in the book from messages. It'll be available this fall. If you just kindly go and pre-order at Amazon.com, And then just a second heads up, because we carry a number of Pastor Billy Crone's products in my online store. We carry fascinating study, Freemasonry, Satan's Secret Society, 10 Messages, DVD set, another one, UFOs, Aliens, and the Coming Mass Abduction, 7 DVD set. We have Klaus Schwab, Eugenics and the Rise of the Nephilim DVD set, 11 messages. Another one is Klaus Schwab, The World Economic Forum and the Coming Mark of the Beast, 12 messages. Billy, Do You Ever Sleep? And then Beyond COVID, The Global Elite's Plan for Human 2.0 DVD set. OliveTreeViews.org, OliveTreeViews.org, and go to the online store. And Billy Crone, you have a new DVD set and book coming out, I believe, any day. Give us a short paragraph on it.
Yeah, it's our big finale on the Klaus Schwab studies. It's called Klaus Schwab, Joe Biden, and the Planned Destruction of America. And we showed how he was brought in to do just that. And Jan, a vote for Joe Biden is a vote for destroying our country.
We'll be carrying at least a DVD set in our online store. Give us a few weeks to do that, folks. I'm coming back in just a couple of minutes, and I'm going to wrap up the discussion on this World Economic Forum. And I want to transition into a very short discussion of God's new world order. And if you're a believer listening today, this is the destination, at least after 7 years in heaven, and then we come back with Jesus in his second coming and help him establish his earthly throne out of Jerusalem. All believers will be co-equal rulers here on earth for about 1,000 years. I want to talk about that for a few moments, because this is our new world order. If it weren't so sad, we could laugh at what's coming under the globalists, but they're going to be influencing and destroying lives of millions of people, which is all the more reason why we share the gospel in the meantime. Back in just a minute or two. Don't go away.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. In this age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Olive Tree Ministries and Understanding the Times Radio. We are carrying a wonderful new book by author Jeff Kinley, The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth. The book takes you to the definitive authority on the future, Christ himself, for a clear understanding of what will take place, when it will happen, and how God desires for us to be prepared. It centers on the Olivet Discourse in Matthew's Gospel. Find the new book in our online store, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call our office Monday through Friday at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. If you get our print or e-newsletter, you will also see it featured. The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth provides you with clear biblical answers about what is to come. Jesus revealed the future for all of humanity that we may turn to him for salvation, live in hope, and be ready for his glorious return. We're excited about it and hope you will be too.
If you're listening to this, and if you're getting afraid, that's not from God. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Fear does not come from God. And the Bible says that we need to be courageous and excited in these last days.
We know you can't always be by a radio. So if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. And then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, on all of our social media, and on his channel, Christian TV. Now here's Jan Markell and Pastor Billy Crone to wrap up today's program.
Almost everyone knows the lyrics to Isaac Watts' famous hymn, Joy to the World, but few people realize that it is really a miscast hymn. It's not a Christmas hymn, really, at all, even though it's in the top three of the favorite Christmas hymns of all time. Listen to the words and see if you understand what I mean. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Did we receive the King when Jesus was born at Bethlehem? Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessing flow, far as the curse is found. Has that happened? Did it happen? He rules the world with truth and grace. I don't think so. Not yet. And makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. Only during the millennium, which comes after the second advent of Christ, will the words of joy to the world really be fulfilled.
And welcome back. We've been talking about the first half hour anyway, about this great reset that's on the calendar to appear. My guest and I, Pastor Billy Crone, believe that's very likely the seven-year tribulation where the reset is really installed, but we're watching a run-up to it as we speak. The leader of that pack of wolves has been a man by the name of Klaus Schwab. He recently stepped down to become chairman of the Board of Trustees. An individual by the name of Börje Brende has stepped in to be the head of the World Economic Forum. This organization, along with United Nations, even World Health Organization, they're all conspiring, and I don't use that word in a conspiratorial way, it's just a practical way. They are conspiring to form a new world order, but they're going to be in for a very, very rude awakening when they really find out just who's in charge. Some of them know, and others are going to be in for a terrible shock when they realize it wasn't all they were told about. Some terrible, terrible things. Not for the believer, some wonderful things. Jesus ruling out of Jerusalem. Yes, we take Revelation 20 quite literally. But I'm not quite finished with the topic of the first half hour. With me is Pastor Billy Crone. You can find more information at getalifemedia.com. Pastor's Sunrise Bible Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. He's been at a number of my Understanding the Times conferences in the Twin Cities. Pastor Crone, the reason I tap into you, probably more so than some people, is because when we talk about these things, and particularly anything that has a dark agenda, and we could include in that the New Age movement, that's because you have a background in it. You understand the globalist mindset maybe better than the average person does.
Yeah, and part of that, Jen, goes back to my testimony and what God saved me out of. And I was so rebellious and stubborn that when I was a teenager, I made a pact with Satan, and things got very dark and ugly very quickly, trying to kill myself three different times. Then to make matters worse, I moved to California. This was in Kansas. I had a roommate that turned me on to Anton LaVey and the Satanic Bible, which is basically a book with satanic rituals. That didn't help. Then I had a coworker that turned me on to the New Age, and New Age is totally demonic. And it's in there, Jan, that I speak from firsthand experience. There really is a global cabal. They really want to give us the idea that Satan is a good guy. He's a light bearer here to share the truth. And the Christians are the one that are, quote, stopping the harmony of the earth. I was there, Jan. I was there at the conferences. I was there at the World Expos. This is real. A misnomer out there is a lot of people think that, oh, those New Agers, those occultists, they're just out in the middle of the desert or in a forest doing their little thing. And they're just those tinfoil hat people with triangles on their head and just a very small fringe of society. That's not true, Jan. You pick any sector of society, including politics, these people are New Agers. They're occult demon worshipers. And they have fallen for the lie that Lucifer's a good guy. This is not a joke, Jan. I clearly remember as a New Ager that one of the biggest things they were trying to drill in your head is, again, Christians are bad. Christians got it wrong. Don't listen to them. Satan is the one who's going to bring peace to the planet. And this is not a surprise to me. People need to wake up and realize these people have permeated all aspects of society, because there's a law in Satanism, Jan. It's called the law of reversal, and it really fits Satan's character. The law reversal says whatever God says, you do the exact opposite. You reverse it. If the Bible says do not murder, they murder. The Bible says don't lie, they lie. They do rituals backward. They speak backwards. They walk backwards. Everything is in complete rebellion to God, which is what Satan does. He takes God's truth, he twists it, contorts it, and perverts it. And then when you talk about this Luciferian order, it's a counterfeit of what God says that he will give you for free through Jesus Christ if you would just receive Christ as your Savior. And let me break that down very quickly. The globalists, the Luciferians, New Agers, New World Order folks, the Great Reset people, it's all the same thing. They say we need to listen to them and we will have a limitless existence forever with their science and technology. First of all, if you would accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you actually get to have a limitless existence and you get to go to a place called heaven that is not a pipe dream, it's real. And then they say, well, if you listen to them, then through science and technology, they'll give you a perfect body. Well, the Bible says if you ask God to forgive your sins through Jesus, he's going to give you a new body, a resurrected body. It'll be perfect forever, no defects. And they say, well, no, if you listen to us and allow us to install this new world order, this great reset, Satan's plan, we're going to have our own man-made paradise free of evils in society. Well, guess what? If you get saved through Jesus Christ, you get to go to the real paradise, the millennial kingdom, where God is going to renovate this planet to Garden of Eden-like conditions, and it's going to be awesome. And they say, well, we want to create a world that's free of pain and suffering and death. They make themselves so altruistic if you just follow Lucifer along with us. Well, the Bible says if you get saved through Jesus Christ, even after the millennial kingdom, we're going to have what's called the new heavens and the new earth, where there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. And God's going to wipe every tear from our eyes. And all their plan is, their Luciferian order, is the law of reversal, the complete counterfeit, which will never happen. Satan's a liar, and you'll never get any of those things. He wants to see you dead and in hell. But they're duping people because you could have every one of those things I just mentioned, Jim, if you would just receive Jesus Christ, your Savior. He's the only way, and he's the only one who's going to bring peace to this planet. He's the only one that's going to create paradise. It's called the Millennial Kingdom. And it's there the whole time for the taking, but that's what Satan's doing. He's got his new world order, his fake order, and then he's duping people away from Jesus, saying that Christians are the bad guy. Don't listen to Jesus. Listen to Satan. And this really is what's going on behind the scenes, Jim.
Here's the thing, is Schwab and the others, I have a clip, I'm not going to play it. Again, he'll say, we are going to make the world a better place. And I think that's the magic that comes out of their mouth that people believe because the world's a mess. And they really believe that somebody or some organization or a group of these one-worlders truly can make the world a better place, when in fact, that is only going to happen at Jesus' millennial kingdom when he actually rules the earth from Jerusalem. And I want to transition there. And I appreciate how you set that up, Billy Crone. You can learn more at getalifemedia.com and look into the various products that he offers. We carry a ton of them in my store, olivetreeviews.org. But I just wanted to spend a few minutes on this, Billy, because we have such a hopeful future, such a glorious future. And you and I can fully appreciate it because we take it so literally. People make fun of us for taking things literally because many don't. I mean, the amillennial theology would say that we are in the millennium right now, which I did not see a lion laying by a lamb on my way over to the office today. Did you?
If you do, that's called lamb chops.
Okay.
Because he's going to eat them. We don't see that today. You're right, Jen. There's no way that we're in the millennial kingdom because when you look at the aspects of the millennial kingdom, it's got to be future because the incredible, literally paradise on the planet that Jesus is going to create, Garden of Eden-like conditions, we don't see that today. So to say that we're in it now is ridiculous.
That is an amillennial theological point of view. And then we have the postmillennial, and then I'm going to reference what it is we believe. We believe in premillennial. That's the oldest theology on this topic. But postmillennial would say Jesus is going to come back after the 1,000 years. In other words, the believers during that millennium will bring about near perfection, and then we convert and conquer for Jesus Christ. And here's what shattered that theology. It's called world war. I don't know who actually believes that, Billy. Some do, but I think more would fall in the amillennial camp. You want to say anything about postmillennialism?
I agree with you. It was great until World War I came along, and then it got smashed into the ditch when World War II came along because it demonstrated the track record we're on is not that the planet and the church is bringing about a utopia. It just continues to get worse. And the reason why is because it's wrong. And the Bible's very clear. that it is going to continue to get worse, including the status of the church with apostasy. The only one that's going to make it better again is Jesus Christ coming with the church, setting up the millennial kingdom.
Let me play a quick soundbite here again. David Jeremiah, you can find his message online on the millennium. Find it under YouTube, under his name. It's one of the best on the millennial kingdom.
The Bible teaches that when we serve the Lord here on this earth as Christians, we are going to be rewarded when we get to the kingdom with the opportunity to serve the Lord in a new and special way. In the previous message, we talked about the crowns. Here we're reminded that part of our reward will be to reign and rule with Christ upon this earth. And each of us will have opportunities to serve the Lord based upon our faithfulness in serving him right now. 1 Thessalonians 3:13 says that the coming of the Lord will happen when he comes with all of his saints. When Jesus comes back at the end of the tribulation period, just before this millennial time, we who were raptured at the beginning, we're going to come back with him. We're going to come back to this earth, and we're going to reign upon this new earth that he's created with his righteousness. And Paul told the Corinthians that the saints are going to judge the world in 1 Corinthians 6:2. And in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4 that we read a few moments ago, we read, "And they lived and they reigned with him for 1,000 years. Who are they? The Christians, the saints who come back with him. Literally, men and women, there has to be a millennium so that we can live out our rewards during this 1,000-year period of time. In the parable of the talents, Jesus taught that our role as servants and rulers will be based upon our faithfulness. Matthew 25:23, the Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over what? Many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." In the millennium, we will be ruling the earth with Jesus as our king. And we will be serving the Lord, not as a punishment, but as a reward. The idea of service as a reward is foreign to a lot of people who don't like their work, who only put up with their work until it's time to retire. We think that faithful service should be rewarded with a long vacation. But God offers us an opportunity very different from work. More responsibilities is his reward. Increased opportunities is his reward. Greater abilities and resources and wisdom and empowerment. We will have sharper minds, stronger bodies, clearer purpose, and unabated joy. And we will serve the Lord for 1,000 years on this earth as it is, reigning and ruling with him. Can you imagine a reign of righteousness with all godly people in every single position, having not had to be elected there, but appointed there by King Jesus?
Pastor Billy Crone, there's one downside to the millennial kingdom, and that is that some people are going to go into the millennium, and they're going to have children, and they are not born righteous. Why don't you explain that a little bit? Because then sin re-enters the scene. And then all we can look to for perfection is the new heavens and the new earth, which is still down the road.
And that's actually a good point for a couple of reasons. Number one, that dispels the lie, really, that the church is going to be in the seven-year tribulation, including the what's called the post-trib position, that Christians are going to be in the seven-year tribulation the whole way. And then their version is like at the very, very end, you go up and you go right back down. And yeah. So, no, first of all, Paul said, encourage one another with these words. How encouraging is it for me to say, hey, we've got something great coming forward, the blessed hope. You're going to go through the horrible time of the seven-year tribulation, and then you're going to go up and come right back down. It's ridiculous. But what that does is explains what's called the final rebellion at the end of the 1,000 years of millennial reign. And it clearly says that Satan this whole time has been bound. That's another reason why it's going to be an awesome time. Think about that, Jen. Yeah, great. Our greatest arch enemy is completely bound. He can't mess with us, nothing, for 1,000 years. Well, he's going to be let out for a brief period. He's going to go across the earth, the Bible says in Revelation, and he's going to raise up one final rebellion. And this is an important point because a lot of Christians go, well, I hope I'm not one of those people. Well, you can't, because the Bible's very clear that when the rapture happens, we get a new resurrected body. We not only get a resurrected body, but we lose the sin nature. And so after the rapture, we get a resurrected body. We meet the Lord in the clouds. We go to heaven. We're there for 7 years. During the seven-year tribulation, we come back with Jesus, Revelation 19. And so they're going like, who's going to repopulate the kingdom? Well, it's not us. The people that will populate the kingdom are those who got saved after the 7-year tribulation started, those that got left behind, most of them are going to be slaughtered like flies. We see that with the martyr seal. The Greek word there is sphazo. It's very pictorial. It's literally to butcher and slay like an animal. It's not a good scene. But there will be some, quote, Gentiles that do get saved and somehow survive to the very end of the 7-year tribulation of the return of Christ. But there will also be the 1/3 remnant, the Jewish people, because God's not done with them. He's going to sovereignly protect them, Revelation 12, with the archangel Michael. So those people, the 1/3 remnant Jewish people, and any Gentiles that were left behind because they didn't get saved, they get saved in the 7-year tribulation and somehow survive. They're going to literally walk into with normal physical bodies into the millennial kingdom. They're the ones that are going to repopulate the planet. They're the ones when it says that if a person dies at 100 years old in the millennial kingdom, it'll be like they were a baby because there's going to be longevity of life again. When you got people like Methuselah living 900 and some years old, there's going to be peace with nature like it was in the Garden of Eden. We didn't have to worry about the animals eating us or eating them. Back then, it was all vegetarian until after the flood. That's a very important point. And again, that just adds yet another emphasis why you should not delay. Yep. You need to get saved today. Because another benefit of being saved today is you're going in the rapture, and then you're going to get not just a resurrected body, but you will forever lose, praise God, that sin nature, which means you cannot rebel ever again against God. So we're never going to have to worry about ever again turning away from God. We are his bride, and we will be his bride forevermore. As you mentioned, Jen, there will be a co-reign in Jerusalem over the whole planet. We get to be there. But again, that's the point. Don't wait until you're left behind to get saved because, okay, praise God you got saved. Number one, I hope you don't get slaughtered. Number two, that means, praise God, if you make it to the back end, you're going to go in the millennial kingdom, but then your progeny is going to have the propensity to rebel against God again. So the whole thing could be avoided if you just get saved now.
This is, in a sense, the answer to the disciples' prayer when they said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's wishing for the millennial kingdom. The millennium, somebody said it's a prelude to heaven. Just as a symphony plays an overture, there is an overture of heaven, the millennium, and the same King Jesus will be in charge. I'm going to play one more clip. It happens to be David Jeremiah again. This message, I just love it. It's online. This is where Dr. Jeremiah is summarizing Jesus when he came and when he comes back again.
It's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus came the first time to become our Savior, and he's coming the second time to become our King. The coming of Christ to set up his kingdom will be so much different than the first time that he came. He entered the world the first time in swaddling clothes. He will reign the second time in majestic purple. He came the first time as a weary traveler. He will return the second time as the untiring God. Once, when he came, he had nowhere to lay his head. When he comes back, he will be revealed as the heir of all things. Once he was rejected by tiny Israel, when he returns, he will be accepted by every single nation. Once he was a lowly Savior acquainted with grief, then he will be the mighty God anointed with the oil of gladness. Once he was smitten with a reed, then he will rule the nations with a rod of iron. Once wicked soldiers bowed the knee in mockery, then every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Once he received a crown of thorns, then he will receive a crown of gold. Once he delivered up his spirit in death, then he will be alive forevermore. Once he was laid in a tomb, then he will sit on a throne. King of kings, Lord of lords, that's Jesus, and that's the millennium. And it's a fact that will be impossible for us to mistake if we read the scripture.
And that is our New World Order. Terry James writes this. He's one of the best writers I know. He writes on life in the millennium, just posted it a few days ago. And he says this, just a couple paragraphs. Our commission during the 1,000 years of the millennial kingdom will be beyond anything we can fully grasp at the present. Then he says, by the time we follow the Lord Jesus to planet Earth, accompanying him while he returns, we will each have gone before the judgment seat of Christ. And then he says, each child of God will stand before the holy bench of judgment for rewards and crowns earned during life on Earth. There will be no condemnation, no judgment for sin. All sin was paid for through Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Each of us will be rewarded with different levels of attainment. depending on the faithfulness we demonstrated in using our gifts and talents on earth. How we honored the Lord's desires will determine the level of responsibility we will be given for ruling and reigning with Jesus during the millennial kingdom. And then he wraps it up. He says, there will be no competitors, no envy, no jealousy in all this hereafter activity. We will have the mind of Christ. Our thinking will be like his. All we will be concerned with is doing his holy will. Our goals and desires will be precisely the same as his. Our love will be not for ourselves, but for our brothers and sisters, and especially for our biggest brother, Jesus, the King of all kings. What will we do during the millennial kingdom and throughout the hereafter? And then he lists the following. We'll worship. We'll keep the Feast of Tabernacles, Zechariah 14. We'll visit Jerusalem to learn, Isaiah 2. We'll fellowship, Revelation 19. We'll serve Jesus. We'll judge fallen angels, 1 Corinthians 6. And we'll reign on the earth. Billy Crone, you were just at a pretty major prophecy conference there in Colorado Springs, and you interacted with probably about 1,000 people there. What are they watching? What are they concerned about? What are they talking about as they fellowship with one another? And I hosted a number of conferences, so I always enjoyed listening to what the attendees were excited about or discouraged about.
I think the big thing, obviously, right now, Jan, that's on everybody's mind is the upcoming election.
Yeah.
And how does that play into prophecy-related issues? And I would agree, that's a very important topic. And that's why, ever since the pandemic, once I discovered the trail, who was behind it, Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum, I've been doing my part to try to get people equipped with what's really going on with politics, even in our own country. Why are these things happening? And most importantly, what does it have to do with the Bible? And how can we be encouraged in that? And this is something, Jan, pretty much every message I preach on ever on Bible prophecy, because some of it's pretty heavy duty, including occult issues. It's very easy to, unfortunately, quote, get discouraged as a Christian, but you're missing the purpose as to why God tells us these things in advance. Basically, they could call it the Fourth Industrial Revolution, the Great Reset, the New Age, the New World Order. God calls it the coming Antichrist Kingdom. So people say, oh, that's horrible news. No, 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 no. If you're listening to this, and if you're getting afraid, that's not from God. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Fear does not come from God. And the Bible says that we need to be courageous and excited in these last days because here's the point. Why, Jan, does God tell us so much about the future? Because he wants us to know the future. But why does he tell us so much about this 7-year tribulation when we're not going to be a part of it? I think for a couple reasons. Number one, it gives us a heart of compassion for the lost around us so that when we see how egregious this time frame is, it should spur us on to be the greatest evangelists ever because we wouldn't want our worst enemy to be a part of this Antichrist kingdom. But also what it does is it reminds us that the rapture is getting near. This is what people forget all the time. They get caught up in all this geopolitical stuff. And I'll be the first one to say, the Bible has an answer for this. Here's where it's coming from. But they translate it into fear instead of excitement. Now, let me explain that. I'm not excited about what Klaus Schwab and these evil megamillennials are doing. Not at all. But it's a reminder from God, Jan, that the rapture has to be getting close. Because what these guys are building, again, they could call it the Great Reset, it's the coming Antichrist kingdom. And therefore, the Bible says that we are not going to be a part of it as the church. We're going to be raptured. And so it's really a loving, creative way for God to remind us, church, don't get distracted. Church, don't forget. You don't live for this world. You live for the incredible world to come that we've been describing. Church, finish strong. Every born-again Christian is going to the rapture. And so me personally, Jan, as heavy-duty as this stuff is, this information, when I'm done, I sit on it for a second and go, thank you, Jesus, for reminding me that my departure is near. Because these guys are building the foundation for the Antichrist kingdom. You've promised me that I'm going to leave prior. So thank you for giving me this news in advance, future events, Bible prophecy, so I don't get distracted, so I don't get lazy, so I don't get detoured or worldly, so that I can finish strong and get excited. And this is the other thing, Jen. I think Christians forget. They go, oh, yeah, the rapture. Oh, yeah, the blessed hope. No, finish what happens after the rapture. It isn't just the rapture. It's the destination of the rapture.
Amen.
You see, when the rapture happens, Jen, we're going to heaven. And last time I checked, that's way better than here. And we get a new body with no more problems and no more pain or trial. And then we come back with the millennial kingdom. My greatest adventure awaits. I get to serve with Jesus. I get to see Jesus Christ face to face, the one who loved me, who beat death, hell, and the grave and the devil. and he saved me out of mercy. I get to see him. I don't know about you, Jen. I hope I get to give him a hug or something. But all of that, I'm reminded of that future when I look at what these guys are doing that tells me my future's got to be getting close. How is that a bad thing?
Oh, amen.
It's the best news ever.
All I can say is preach it, Pastor Billy Crone. Learn more at getalifemedia.com. Look up his church, Sunrise Bible Church in Las Vegas, Nevada, because I'm so out of time. What I've tried to do this hour is contrast the final kingdom of Satan as perpetrated by the globalists with God's final plan for a millennium on earth, followed by, and we didn't talk about this, but we will another time, the new heavens and the new earth. Which one will you be a part of? It's your call. Salvation through Jesus Christ is available to all, as Billy Crone has so appropriately outlined. For the believer, glorious times are ahead. For the unbeliever, not so glorious. And I do want to thank you for listening. We will talk to you again next week. Mighty to save,
you are the love song. Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. We know God can still the storm outside and your own personal storm. Nothing is impossible with Him. Nothing is spinning out of control. He allows all things to transpire so that everything can fall into place.